Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, Turnbuckle Terminal fans, Sign Guy QT and JB Moonshine here with you on another Sunday afternoon. No show notes, of course, since shows are still on hiatus at the meantime. Hopefully you are safe and sound wherever you are. But let's bring our guest on right away. He is a rookie wrestler out of Blue Collar Wrestling, making his second appearance with us today. The Thoroughbred Caleb Rex, welcome back to the program.
Thank you for having me, Sam. I'm very excited to be back for the second time.
Well, obviously, we have not seen you in action the last few weeks as the current events have taken place. But the last time that I did see you, you were in a match, and it featured not only Tex Thompson, it also featured C.W. Bergstrom, and it featured Top Gun, three Portland, Oregon wrestling legends. What was it like for you, a rookie, to be main eventing a show against three of the top legends of that era, of that particular area of the country even?
Well, to be honest, when I was walking into Union's Lodge that night, I was not expecting to even be in a match like that. It came completely as a surprise to me. But, you know, Mr. Rockefeller had paid some big money to hire the Thoroughbred, and he had to step in. And it turns out that it was with some legends, some absolute greats. It was an honor. As much as I resent the fact that we, you know, we're there to try to handle some business and stuff like that, I had to stop and take a second and realize who I was in the ring with, and I mean, it was absolutely great. I'm even having a hard time putting it into words now, because it was something that not many people who have been around, you know, for such a short time like me, a rookie even, that would get a chance to do something like that. So, it's an honor.
Now, for myself, I also remember C.W. Bergstrom and Top Gun and a lot of different promotions. C.W. Bergstrom was big in Memphis for a year or so. Top Gun wrestled all over the world, WCW, Florida. He was big in a lot of places. Knowing that you were wrestling guys in your home area that had been big stars for Portland wrestling, did it also occur to you that these guys have traveled all over the world and have faced some of the biggest names in the history of wrestling, and there they were wrestling you in the main event that night?
To be honest, it didn't really occur to me until after I took that very big choke slam from C.W. Bergstrom. But I mean, my grandfather knew exactly who I was stepping into the ring with, and it was honestly an honor to be able to tell him I got the rest of them. Because at the beginning of the night, because he dropped me off at the House of Action, as we like to call it, and he knew that they were in the house. And he was excited about it, but, you know, unfortunately, with the circumstances, he was going to stay home to be safe. To be able to come home that night and tell him was just a tears in my eyes. It was a lot of fun. It was great.
Well, one of our co-hosts has faced you in the ring multiple times, someone you know very well, so I'm going to pass things over to JB Moonshine.
Oh, man. Oh. How's it going, dude?
Halo. I thought you. I was about to beat you until your guys came and helped you.
Hey, win's a win. I don't know.
So my very first question would be is, how does it feel to be riding the coattails, or the heels of them?
You know, it's funny you bring them up, because when I brought up that choke slam that I took, and the only reason that I got that beating that I got was because one of those men, Bad Blood, who did help me get that win that night, threw me back in the ring. So, I mean, riding the coattails is a different term right now, because I got to really reconsider the men I was in that night, because I was paid to do a job either way. I'm not necessarily a declared member of the Rockefeller, what they call it, Rockefeller Foundation, and I don't know. I don't think we're even allies at this point, because the only reason I got that beating is because I got thrown right back in that ring. So I think what they paid me to do was done at that point.
So since you call yourself a thoroughbred, they basically just fed you to the sharks, made you into dog food.
Oh, I mean, whatever you want to call it, I guess, JV.
I guess, well, you got to do what you got to do.
I got paid a lot of money for that. I mean, I took a tomahawk to your knee for a good amount of money. I'm sorry. How's your knee, by the way? How are you walking?
Yeah, I still have a little bit of a limp, and every time I, you know, it rains, I definitely think about you.
Good.
And
after this
whole virus thing, and I can get back to that ring again, trust me, the first match I would love to have would be against you.
I welcome it.
Because I'm still not done with the little payback on my knee. You try to end my career, and I'm not happy with that. But
well,
let's see what other questions I can come up with for you. So how does it feel to, like, make it where, you know, not even your own partner that you came into the business with turned on you? I mean, you don't seem like you're making very good friends around here if you keep on being fed to the sharks.
You know, funny you bring up the Northman, because he hasn't been around, well, since I sent him away. So I don't think he's even really relevant at this point. But I really honestly miss the times I had with the Northwest Assassin. I mean, we got a lot done when we were together. It was unfortunate that, you know, it was his choice that he thought he could be better than the group, he could be better than the brand. We had something going with the pedigree, and he felt he was better than the pedigree. And I had to take care of business. So I don't know if you want to take it as Bad Luck with partners. I mean, yeah, sure. I did have Bad Luck because he thought he was better than me. And I proved him wrong.
Well, since the last time I checked, the only way you've ever been able to beat me is without the Northwest Assassin's help.
I mean, you're making this very focused on it. We want to go off of that. The last time we fought, like I said, I took your knee out. I almost ended your career. You're right. When you limp, every time you limp, you think of me, which is great. I hope you do. I hope you remember that when you do step in the ring with me, because it might be the last time that you ever wrestle. Who knows?
Yeah. Well, just remember, I've been there since day one of your training and stuff like that. So I might have helped you out a little bit, but I still know a little bit more. This old dog still some new tricks. Yeah, that's it.
I hope to see it. I hope to bring it out of you. That's the point of being the thoroughbred and being the best, is that I bring the best out of the opponents I wrestle too. So we'll see.
We'll see. See if I have another. See what other. Okay, we'll go a little bit serious this time with whatever. And since you actually did get into the business or whatever, what was your reason or why did you want to become a wrestler? And even if it is to take people's knees out or whatever you want to do, why is it that you do what you do?
Well, I decided to step into the ring after ending a football, well, we can kind of call it a career, I guess. I mean, it was an attempt at it. And honestly, I had to stop and think about what I really wanted to do. I was at a crossroads, and to be honest, there was only really one thing I loved growing up, and it was professional wrestling. I'll be honest, I was a huge fan of the Attitude Era, because that's really what I grew up in. And when I was in high school, it was the Ruthless Aggression Era. Not many people liked that era, but I grew to love wrestling from watching, you know, guys like John Cena and The Miz. And it was my thing. I absolutely loved, you know, Edge and Randy Orton. And some might say that I took a lot out of Randy Orton, because, you know, I might just be crazy considering I take actions to people's knees at this point, and I do whatever I need to do that I'm getting paid to do. I like getting paid, that's for sure. Some of my favorite wrestlers, though, I mean, it goes far beyond that. Now I'm on the spot here. Now I got to really think. I really enjoyed the Four Horsemen. I'm honestly an Arn Anderson fan. I love the Minnesota Wrecking Crew for sure. Those guys just came in and did what they did business and did what they had to do and got out of there and got paid. I loved it.
To me, you have like this whole Mr. Perfect vibe. Do you watch a lot of his matches or a lot of his stuff?
I definitely do. Mr. Perfect is very close. I mean, I don't have the skill to be making those promos where I'm, you know, shooting backwards shots from the 3-point line and things like that, and doing all those wild things that he was doing to show he was perfect, because he was, you know, Mr. Perfect. But absolutely, I honestly should be, you know, taking a little bit more pages out of his book. To be honest, I gotta do better at that.
Especially if you like the whole Roman wrestling or the Greek wrestling type stuff. He did a lot of that type stuff, school wrestling, a lot of that. Well, what is your growing up? What is like your all-time favorite wrestler or match, or, you know, your all-time childhood hero? I guess you would say.
You know, everybody loved The Rock, and I think I did too. But the time, the match where he got to go one-on-one with Hollywood Hulk Hogan is something I'll never forget. The two worlds collided. I got to watch it with my grandfather, who, you know, watched a lot of the era with Hulk Hogan just running wild on everybody. And it was absolutely a lot of fun to enjoy the match, which is, you know, a match that I never thought would happen, but also get to enjoy it with my grandfather. That was a huge, huge match for me. On top of that, I growing up in the era that I did, getting to see a lot of JBL and the way he ran things with his cabinet and the matches that he had with John Cena. Those really made an impact on me as well. I try to bring that arrogance and aggression that he brought a lot of the time.
Since you've only been wrestling for a couple of years or whatever, so it's a short time. In the short time, who's been like your toughest opponent that you would think that you've ever had to, you know, been in the ring with? One of that you, you know, put you to your limits.
I mean, there was you for sure. I gotta give credit where credit is due. You can't. I mean, shoot, the last time we wrestled, you came walking in limping with a hurt knee. I got a lot of credit to you because I got my first match with you, coming out of the commentary to come help you with the freak show, doing what I had to do. I mean, even if I didn't step out and help you, you were going to take those guys on by yourself, whether you had to, you know, take a beating or not. You know what I mean? So
I absolutely
and push me to my limit.
I almost forgot about that. Yeah, you definitely came out and helped me when I needed it. I had nobody else. I had my dad. I will definitely give you that. Even if you weren't even ready to be in the ring yet, you were still there, and even that's the first win.
Yeah, absolutely. Never forget that one. another you know, great wrestler that had to push me to another level. I came out and answered one of Bad Blood's open challenges for his AIWF championship, and you know what I mean. I still rings in my head because I mean that was my title match, and I wanted it so bad, but he's Bad Blood, man.
He will push you to your limits and stuff like that. And so I know I was lucky to get that win and that last man standing match. But, hey, just a little bit smarter that time.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, we know that the last time we got it, we were in the ring or whatever. It was March 15th or whatever. And you got to wrestle CW, Bertram, and Top Gun. And CW I've been in the ring with before, and it's an honor. And so, but besides them, if you ever got a chance to, who would you like to be able to work, or do you have a match before your career is over?
Oh man!
Everybody says I'm gonna ask that question.
that's wild. You know. So honestly, it's probably a death wish, but when I first tried to start training, my first trainer was Doc Stevens, and I would love a chance to step in the ring with him, or even Drexel or Jason Sullivan, who isn't really wrestling anymore. I'd absolutely love chances with one of those three.
Yeah, those are definitely good guys. I haven't really got the chance to really work them, but I've been in a battle royal against them. So I mean, they're definitely good people to work and know what they're doing.
Absolutely, and I would love to show them what I've been able to, you know, do and become better than just that. I felt like the first time I was, you know, training, I felt like a little bit more of a fanboy than somebody that was actually taking it seriously. And I'd love a chance to redeem myself for sure.
Yeah, a lot of guys like to do that. I did that when I first started. People told me to get out, that I'd not to cut it. You know, that I'm not gonna be able to do this, and I think that pushed me into wanting to do it more.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Let's see. Do you have some type of training regimen and some type of, you know, thing that you do to get ready to prepare for a match or?
Before a match. You know, I try to just relax for a second and get out of my own head and not think too much or overthink. I'll go into the bathroom and look in the mirror and just kind of even myself out, you know, make sure I stretch. You know, having the athletic background I do, not only do I know how to, you know, do some different stretches to get myself ready, especially right before, but also I've got a lot of wear and tear from, you know, playing ball and things like that. So I got to make sure everything is ready to go. Couple of squats, thanks, you know, it's a requirement by my trainer, which is sincere. So, you know, get at least five squats in and get ready to go.
I think I'm out of questions. I don't know.
All right. I'll take the tag. Caleb, one of the things that we lost due to the current situations was the upcoming Lucha show that was going to be presented at the North Portland Eagles. Lucha Britannia was the company. They do a combination of Lucha style and British style wrestling, with Douglas Rockefeller being somewhat of an influence on you at this point, and he having started in England for his wrestling career. Is the British style something that you've been training in and or watching?
I'd love to start training in it, absolutely. I've seen a lot of, you know, different matches. I've got on the Walter train right before he signed with WWE. British strong style is a fun one to watch as well. I was really excited for the show, and I was actually, you know, gonna go and help set up the ring and try to meet a lot of the wrestlers, and pick their brains, take some notes. I wasn't going to be on the card by any means, or even try to be on the card, but I would have loved to see that show, and it was going to be a great experience, not only for myself, but for the area, for Portland to see. I totally thought that this was a show that was right up Portland's alley. They were going to really enjoy it, especially our hipsters. they're great fans, and they love to be entertained by, you know, the high flying stuff that guys like Dusty Sighting does. And so, you know, they're going to see plenty of that with those Lucha wrestlers, and it's really unfortunate that they didn't get that chance.
Hopefully we will get the chance. I'm sure they're going to try to work it out so that the show can happen later in the year. And we've also hit the season right now where we see a lot of outdoor shows. Especially in our area, the season's very short, where outdoor shows are really feasible due to normal weather conditions. Some places, some areas do outdoor shows close to year-round. Outdoor shows are sort of a different type of atmosphere to them. Some of the amenities can be very different. It sort of feels different a lot of times. What are your opinions so far on outdoor shows?
I love them. They're a lot of fun. It's a really cool experience. When I was first really getting started, one of my next matches after helping out with JD, I got a chance to wrestle at a car show for VCW outside, and it was a chance to wrestle. It was my first time meeting and being in the ring with Paul Preston, but also it was one of the first times wrestling Gregor Petrov, who I also wrestled at a different outside event for Patty, actually. But that triple threat match was really, really interesting, especially being in the ring with two different veterans. It kind of got me through a lot of it being a newbie, a new wrestler. I was really looking forward to getting to do it this year. My family owns a 64.5 Candy Apple Green Mustang, and we were going to, and it actually has a horse mural on the front. So we were hoping to show that off and have it at different car shows, especially the one at BCW where we would get to wrestle at. So maybe hopefully we'll get a chance to later in the summer, but we'll see.
Well, we hit the part of the show where we have a game we call Word Association. I will throw out the names of some people that you have come across in your career. The first word or two that pops to mind is the answer. Are you prepared to play some Word Association?
Absolutely. Let's do it.
Here we go. Douglas Rockefeller.
Money.
Big Vicious.
Chokeslam.
Mac Traeger.
Terrifying, but a friend.
Sunny Days.
Sunshine.
Petrov.
Don Kong.
Bad Blood.
Franchise.
Funny Bone.
Legend.
Billy Moon.
Different.
T-Rex.
Veteran.
The last one, Cosmo.
Power. As in tall. Tall and as in like those like those are the towers you see that like are monuments.
All right. Well, at this point, QT Vokes is standing by. I'm sure he's been working all day long on some questions, so I'm going to pass things to him.
Well, thank you, Sangai. Hello, Caleb.
Hi, how's it going?
It's going pretty good. Caleb, last Friday, or this past Friday, we had on Pa Moonshine. For the first time in Turnbuckle Turmoil history, I'd like to compare his answers on our Bring On the Choice, Bring On the Funk, with the same material that the choices that I asked him, and I'm going to ask you the same Bring On the Choice, Bring On the Funk choices, and compare your choices to Pa. Are you ready for this semi-seminal moment in Turnbuckle Turmoil history?
It sounds interesting. I'm ready to go.
Oh, okay. First choice, Chilean sea bass or brook trout almondine?
Trout.
Okay, you're going with the brook trout almondine. I wasn't actually paying attention to what Pa said, but I believe he said neither. He said neither. Okay.
Confirmed. He did say neither.
Okay. Fast Times at Ridgemont High or Caddyshack?
Ooh, Caddyshack.
Oh, very good. Okay. Now, you'd be interested to know that Pa Moonshine said Caddyshack, and when I asked him who his favorite character was, and I guessed, Pa, would it be Judge Smales? He didn't know who Judge Smales was.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, man. Pa's got to brush up if he's going to pick that over a classic like Fast Times.
Well, I told him that Judge Smales was played by Ted Knight, who was a prominent character on the Mary Tyler Moore Show, and then he seemed to remember who Ted Knight was. And I only bring this up because I believe that Ted Knight bears a striking resemblance to Mr. Rockefeller. That's my opinion.
Very interesting.
Oh, okay.
I wonder if he's...
All right. The third one, Leapin' Lanny Poffo or Bastion' Booger?
Ooh, Lanny Poffo. Leapin' Lanny.
Okay. Goes Leapin' Lanny also. Okay. Revenge of the Nerds or Death Wish by Charles Bronson?
Yeah, you're bringing the heat here. These are hard questions. Man, what was your first one?
Revenge of the Nerds or Death Wish by Charles Bronson.
Revenge of the Nerds.
Oh, okay. Very good. Now, off the record, Caleb, just for our records, during the film Revenge of the Nerds, the Greek Games. Greek Games. Was your favorite scene of the Greek Games was when Lamar threw with his limp-wristed javelin throw, he won the javelin competition. Was that your favorite scene? That's what I'm asking.
Absolutely, I'm partial to it actually, because I attempted to throw the javelin in high school as well. And, I mean, I wasn't exactly a playthrough, but I had a lot of fun.
Wow! All right. Who do you think? I mean, how far if JB Moonshine was in the Greek Games and he could travel back in time to the shooting of the Revenge of the Nerds, and JB was up against Lamar and his limp-wristed javelin throw, who do you think could win?
I'd go with Lamar, because I don't think JB could post himself enough with that hurt knee to be able to throw the javelin.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. The next one, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels or Stacy Keibler?
Stacy Keibler was one of my childhood crushes. So I mean, absolutely Stacy Keibler.
All right, Stacy. Who did you have a bigger childhood crush on? Stacy Keibler or Joan Jett?
Stacy Keibler for sure.
Oh, okay. All right. Pa also he chose Shawn Michaels too. All right.
Understand.
One. Tugboat or Typhoon?
Let's go with Tugboat.
Oh, wow. Okay. Pa chose Typhoon. Okay. Let's see. The last one, thumbtacks or Legos in a bring your weapons match?
Oh. I'd like to pick neither, but for the sake of the question, I'd go with Legos, because I wouldn't have to pick them out of my back afterwards. I've seen those matches that Nate and Mac have had, and just saw what's still stuck to their boots and their backs and their legs, and I don't want to have to go through pulling them out with that energy.
Sounds like pain.
Okay. All right. Very good. That concludes a comparison of Bring on the Choice, Bring on the Funk between two guests in a row. You did very well, and there were no wrong answers. Very good. Okay. Well, Caleb, if you had a tag team made up of Zack Ryder and Cody Rhodes, what would you call this tag team?
The Sweet Life of Zack and Cody.
Oh, okay. Yes, I agree. The Sweet Life of Zack and Cody. Okay, very good. Caleb,
yeah.
Now, go ahead. Yes.
Oh, I. When I was younger, myself and my sister actually watched that show a lot, so it was the first thing that came to mind. So, absolutely.
Oh, okay, very good. Yep. Yes, I was pretty much into Looney Tunes myself. Looney Tunes.
Very good.
Speaking of which, what was your favorite Looney Tunes character? I'm going to go out on a limb and say it was either Foghorn, Leghorn, or Yosemite Sam.
Oh, man. Those are great. I do love Foghorn, Leghorn, but my Daffy Duck, Duck Dodgers, one of my favorites.
Oh, Daffy Duck. Okay. All right. Because, Caleb, believe it or not, at my last BCW show, someone leaned over to me in the crowd while they were watching you and said you reminded them of the Tasmanian Devil.
Hey, that's a compliment. I was I would say.
Yes. Oh, okay. All right. Well, now, speaking of Pa Moonshine that we had on Friday, he spoke to Sign Guy about seminar. I took this opportunity in the Pa Moonshine interview to propose to Pa that he and I put on a seminar. I said, if I took care of the ring appropriation, meaning getting a special ring somewhere, and providing a bleach sanitizer for the ring sanitizing, and a snack for all the wrestlers who were attending, if Pa would be interested in putting on a seminar with me, and he said no. My question is, can you talk to Mr. Rockefeller as a possible QT Votes Mr. Rockefeller seminar business cohabitation and see if Mr. Rockefeller would be interested, because Pa Moonshine isn't. Can you do that?
Being the suave businessman that Mr. Rockefeller is, and the entrepreneur he is, I'm sure he wouldn't just pass up, pass off, stop at an idea of a seminar and making money. So, I mean, I'll run it by the big man.
Oh, okay. You will. You'll run it by him. This is fantastic. Okay. I'll go to Costco and get the bleach this afternoon. Okay. Okay. Well, Caleb, I saw your YouTube video called Breaking News, where you and the Northwest Assassin had a run-in with Tommy Celsius. Can you tell us what building this was in?
I totally did know it too. I believe it was around the Chase building, but right underneath is the U.S. Bank building, because that was the vault I locked him in.
Oh, U.S. Bank building. Okay. All right. Well, Caleb, at the 23-second mark, the Northwest Assassin took the third person in line, his ID card, and that person was Tommy Celsius. It was shortly afterwards that the song Kickstart My Heart by Motley Crue came on. My first question is, were you a big fan of Motley Crue?
Oh, absolutely. I went to the final tour. I'm actually looking at my big Motley Crue flag that I bought at the amphitheater here in Battleground, Washington, for their final tour on the Clark County Fairgrounds. It was absolutely great. I got to see Tommy Lee on a drum set doing a big circle, almost like what the Ring of Fire is built like, and he's just playing his drums upside down and left and right and all over, and it was absolutely great. To go back on that last question, I thought you were talking about the building that I locked Tommy Celsius in the bank vault. That's the U.S. Bank building, but the building that he came and assaulted me at, let's put that on the record, he assaulted me there, was a Helium Comedy Club, where I like to hang out. The Thoroughbreds are a regular there.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, okay. You answered that very well. Next question is, do you know what the song Kickstart My Heart by Motley Crue is about?
I can't say I do.
Well, Nikki Sixx OD'd on heroin one night, and the paramedics came and revived him in the ambulance, and several fans were very upset upon hearing the news that Nikki Sixx had died. He had just gotten out of the ambulance, and he walked past them and said, "No, I'm still alive. Here I am." But he made the unfortunate choice to go home after he had died in the ambulance, and the paramedics had revived his heart. He went home and shot heroin again. But that's basically what the song
is. Imagine that. That's a wild story, actually. And I knew I knew from their book that came out that they had some intense stories. I gotta read that book and see the movie that actually came out on the Netflix too.
Yeah. Now I have an inside scoop, and this is pretty tragic. I have heard that Mr. Rockefeller is hooked on crushed catnip. Yes, crushed catnip.
Oh. Wait, can you confirm that? You have a source?
Well, I've got my sources, yes.
Oh man. Gonna have to have it. Maybe when I run the idea about Mr. Rockefeller, I'll let him know what you had to say.
Yes. My seminar set up, hopefully he is off catnip and has a clear head to discuss business. That's what I'm saying. Okay. All right. Well, Kayla, if you go on YouTube and look up the movie Superbad, McLovin has an ID. He goes to a liquor store, and this Fogel, who has this McLovin ID, uses that ID and it identifies him as McLovin. And the clerk looks at his ID, McLovin ID, and eventually approves of the liquor sale. My question is, what if Tommy Celsius handed an ID to the Northwest Assassin that said McCelsius? Would the attack have occurred?
I think he had a plan either way of trying to get in. So he was, whether he fooled Northwest Assassin or not, it was irrelevant because he had a plan to assault me either way. But I would have laughed a little bit or respected the joke, you know, being a super bad fan.
Funny,
when Xbox Live first came out, that was my Xbox Live tag was McLovin, my gamer tag.
Oh, okay. Wow, that's a all right. Okay. Well, Caleb, at the 125 mark, Tommy threw you into the coat check room at the establishment. The coat check room had a white sign that said coat check $2, but Tommy Celsius said $3, gave Tommy Celsius a profit of $1. Now, in 1972 to about 1975, you could get a cheeseburger, small fry, and a small drink for $1 in Longview, Washington. Do you believe that Tommy Celsius was experiencing a 1970s flashback of his childhood days when this $1 meal was going on at McDonald's?
Absolutely. I wouldn't put it past him all. Identity crisis. He could be having a whole bunch of different things going on in his head.
Yes. Oh, okay. Many thoughts on his head. Okay. Very good. Well, Caleb, at the 130 mark, while you were still in the coat room, Tommy hit you in the head with a coat hanger, a wooden coat hanger. How does a coat hanger feel as compared to a steel chair?
Yeah, well, I've actually never, and I don't want to jinx myself, I have never taken a steel chair to the head. The coat hanger, I would assume, feels far better. I'm sure JD can confirm on that one, or even Sign Guy, because they've got, I'm sure, plenty enough experience in the ring. I'm sure they've taken chair shots to the head, but I would have to go with coat hanger, I guess.
Well, now that was you that was thrown into the coat hanger room, right?
Yes. Yes, it was.
Oh, okay. The light wasn't the best. That's what I'm saying. Yes.
Oh, I'm
okay. Well, Caleb,
yes,
are you familiar with a moment in Northwest wrestling history? It almost bordered on folklore, when Sir Latte, a wrestler named Sir Latte, was hit in the head with a steel chair by J.B. Ruth, and it instantly ended his career.
I didn't quite. I got J.B. Moonshine in the career. What was Could you repeat that question?
A seminal moment in Northwest wrestling history happened when a Northwest wrestler named Sir Latte was hit in the head with a steel chair by J.B. Luce. Are you familiar with this?
I am not.
Oh, okay. Well, you should get together with Sun Guy and be filled in on this. Sir Latte's career was ended.
Oh, man. That is much.
Yeah. By a one-time steel chair. Yes. Okay. Well, Caleb, at the 157 mark, Tommy followed you into what looked like, well, it was a stand-up comedy show, and it was in progress. My question is, who are your top three top stand-up comedians of all time? Would they have been Rodney Dangerfield, Jerry Seinfeld, and Bobcat Goldthwait?
All very great. Comedians, being around that comedy club as long as I have, I've actually gotten to meet some greats like Bob Saget. I got to meet Rob Schneider. A lot of those different guys have come through the club. But I think all-time favorite, I've got past, a present, and a future for you. Past, I really enjoy Robin Williams. Robin Williams had just this energy on stage that I don't think anybody else could really match, and that's what really got him into more of the acting and everything else as well. But his comedy is absolutely excellent. Right now, Dave Chappelle, nobody can really. I feel like there's a lot of people trying to measure up to him, especially after the recent Netflix drop. Future, I think a lot of the Portland comedians around here, and actually Ron Funches is from Portland, and he came from here. But one of my favorites, I got two of them actually here locally, Shane Brennan, who is hilarious and absolutely great comic, and Jeremiah Coughlin, who is not only a great comedian, but he does he's a co-host on a podcast for the Portland Pickles here around. Him and Jake Sieberman do a podcast and actually host at the game a bunch of different entertainment for the Portland Pickles, a baseball team here.
Okay, very good choices. How about Andrew Dice Clay?
Oh, I mean, Dice is Dice. He was great. Very, very entertaining.
Yes,
there's a little bit of
Andrew Dice Clay that reminds me of Paul Moonshine a little bit. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Caleb,
to Roger Dangerfield. I mean, he's always like, no respect.
Yes, Rodney Dangerfield. He was good in that movie Back to School, where he went back to school and tried out for the diving team.
Very fun. Yeah, absolutely.
And he did that. And he did that dive called the Triple Lindy. Yes.
absolutely. Movie classics. I love movies. I mean, you could say I'm a cinephile. You know.
Wow. Well, Caleb, Sign Guy mentioned at the beginning of the show that there were no show notes. He's usually very good at saying what action in different parts of the country are going on. BCW is no exception. They're closed down. However, in that video, when Tommy was outside, this was like at the... the 4 minute and 45 second mark, the date, October 27th, came up. I believe BCW is opening back up on October 27th. Can you confirm this? Do you have any insider information?
I couldn't confirm any stuff like that, but I also couldn't deny it either. I think that's really up to the BCW brass on whether or not we could get a show together. If we do, I'd be absolutely happy to be there and help wherever I can, on the card or not. I've recently been showing up on commentary, so I mean, you might hear my gorgeous voice even more being in the commentary role.
All right. Okay. Well, Caleb, as you know, I give out fruit pies for the wrestler that is ranked number one on our weekly Turnbuckle Turmoil Northwest rankings, top 9 7/8. How good will it feel when you receive your first Turnbuckle Turmoil fruit pie?
I mean, that's definitely a milestone, so it's got to be something that's got to be enjoyed. I look forward to it. I look forward to telling as many people as I can that I was considered number one by somebody in the Northwest. I mean, it doesn't matter who. So, I it would be a great honor to receive an award like that.
Well, J.B. Moonshine and Pa Moonshine himself have received fruit pies, and Lance Dean is a huge fan of the fruit pie being ranked number one. Lance Dean.
Excellent.
Yep.
Dean, of course. I fun fact, I put Lance Dean in the torture rack before.
Ooh. Okay. All right, well, Caleb, I look forward to you talking to Mr. Rockefeller about a possible QT Votes Mr. Rockefeller seminar, where I will provide the ring and the bleach. And at this time, I'm going to give you back over to Sign Guy.
It was great talking with you. I appreciate all your time.
Thank you. Oh, okay. Back to you, Sign Guy.
Thank you, QT. Caleb, I will confirm a steel chair hurts. It hurts a lot. I will forward footage to you.
Oh, no.
JB, I've seen you take a chair shot or two. Can you also confirm for him?
Chair shots, but they suck.
Yeah.
I will Bad lefts hit me in the chair multiple times.
Oh, man.
You ever get a stinger from one, JB?
Yes, I have. Even at your chair toe, it sucks.
Yes.
No, yeah.
I had a stinger in my elbow for roughly 2 hours from one once. It wasn't the best day at the office.
No. I had one filled up with fluids, and it felt like they had like the little handy bowl thing on it.
Yeah.
Taking a concerto would be awful, and I would never, ever, 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 ever want to get hit by Max Charlie in the chair.
Now, we did have a question sent in to us by JB's brother, Lance Dean. He wanted to know, Caleb, if you were a fan of the now ill-fated XFL.
Absolutely, I was. It was... Man, it had a lot of potential, and I wish it would have gotten fish out of season, because it would have, I honestly think it would have been a staple, and it would have lasted. It was, from my understanding too, they were even looking into, now I can't remember the name of the league that had just recently been on, that just defunct now, right before the NFL started, but they were looking into buying those teams to even expand the XFL and have more markets in the future. Even granted, that was looking far too ahead, I thought. But the league itself was designed perfectly for those young guys that just missed out, you know, not getting drafted or got cut from, you know, a squad over the spring, you know, and got to go back and prove themselves. I mean, PJ Walker and the other quarterback for the Battlehawks, Tiamu, Jordan Tiamu, they both acquired contracts from, you know, the Chiefs and the Panthers, respectively, both quarterbacks. And that was an opportunity that was created by the XFL. So, I mean, it was a huge opportunity, both for entertainment and for opportunities for other players. And I was hoping that it would last long enough to see even some of these older guys that don't want to retire quite yet or can't quite, you know, keep up on a roster come to show up on these other, you know, on the XFL and become stars as well. There was a lot of potential there, especially being somebody who kind of struck out like I did. Having other opportunities and other ways to get in would have been absolutely good.
Fair enough. One of the matches that you had, I rank up there top three scariest moments I've ever witnessed in person at a wrestling show. There was a match where JB Moonshine dove headfirst onto the cement floor, making people think he was in fact killed in the middle of your match. He resumed the match. I'm not sure how he did so, but when the head hit the floor, did you think you had an easy count out win at that point?
Honestly, if I told you the thought didn't cross my mind, I'd be lying, because any type of win is a win. But I foolishly, so I went to go and pick him up and roll him in. And honestly, I should have just left him there and took the win. But, you know, didn't exactly go that route.
It did not. It assuredly did not. So I think we have confirmed that both steel chairs and cement floors are not good for one's anatomy.
It doesn't keep this shield down, though.
It should have. It really should have. Well, I think we're down to the last few minutes. So, Caleb, if there's anything you want to say to the listeners, plug and promote anything you would want to plug and promote, floor is yours.
you know, I wish we had shows. I wish I had something to tell all the fans to look forward to, wrestling wise, but honestly, I just like to put out that, you know, we will get over this and it will end soon, and we will get to go back to having the great shows that we always had. I mean, it's inevitable because a company like DCW is an enigma and it's a force here in Portland, and once it's given back its opportunity to thrive, it's like I said, it's inevitable that all the fans are going to come back. They're going to be excited, and we're going to have what is close to normal. Other than that, I hope everybody's being safe. I hope we're getting through this. Shout out to the Helium crew, Nick Harris, Max Santiago, Jeremy Collins, Ross Passick, all those guys, everybody. I miss seeing all of them all the time. I miss the comedians. I miss the fact that we had such a thriving comedy community as well. I loved going to see the shows. Hopefully we can get back to that too. If I miss any of the evening crew's name, I'm sorry. This is going right off the top of my head. I don't want to run too long. So, yeah.
You know what the worst part about Helium is?
Oh, man. Here we go. What, Mr. Stein guy?
The cost is always rising. It has to do with inflation.
You know, that one's pretty good. I'll give you that. Normally, you got corny jokes. This one, you're bringing the heat.
Feel free to use it the next time the club's open if you want.
Absolutely.
JB, anything you want to say, plug, or promote? Can people still buy shirts from you?
Yeah, by JB Moonshine merch. And until this whole thing is over, you find me on Facebook. You can always look up if you need to see me, YouTube. I have plenty of things on there to watch. And hopefully as soon as all this virus and everything's over, we'll be back in action and people are trying to see me live. And until then, I guess, I mean, stay home, stay safe, and save lives.
Absolutely. Fans, we'll be back with you next week. Be careful out there. Definitely check out the YouTubes. Caleb Rex got some material up there. JB Moonshine does. I have a thing or two up on the YouTubes. Even QT Vokes, you could watch the historic battle of QT Vokes and Beast Barnett as they battled in a quattro thumbtack match. That's available on the YouTubes. So
well,
make sure you
order that.
Yeah, I'm sure they will. So we'll be back with you next week. Be safe out there, and we'll talk to you soon.